Full night of baseball in New York. It's going to rain a little bit, but it's going to stop. So the Yankees will play the Twins later tonight, a game you'll hear right here on The Fan. And then the Mets are playing Atlanta game two of their three-game series. I've been monitoring the weather for all the New Yorkers on their way to Yankee Stadium and Citi Field. It looks like it's going to rain, but it's probably going to stop by 7.
Got dark now.
Yeah, it's very dark right now. I was looking out a window. So it's ominous skies, but they're going to play baseball tonight. I know I have a bad track record when it comes to this, but I'm telling you, they will play. Could there possibly be a delay? Maybe. But I think delays these days to start baseball games are good things because the games are so quick that it gives you time to get online, to get your food, get comfortable.
What you're hearing is Evan saying, it gives me time to get there without missing first pitch.
Yeah. I'm not the only person who has to deal with that.
Delays are good for us that work till 6:30. Not everybody's already been online in chairs for Aaron Judge bobbleheads.
But hold on, in fairness, when I went to Citi last night, I got there right as the first pitch was thrown. There was a ton of people not there yet. So I think I'm in the majority when I say most people are struggling to get there for first pitch.
Right.
Now, the Yankee situation is a little different because they do have a really cool bobblehead today. It's King Judge giveaway. Now, I'm calling him King Judge. I don't think he actually has a crown on that bobblehead. So there are a lot of Yankee fans that are already there. What time do the gates open?
The gates open, I think, right now.
Okay, good. So if you're online, you're getting in now, you get your bobblehead, and then you got to sit there for 2.5 hours. So maybe you don't want a rain delay. But for most people, I don't think rain delays are that bad. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Gives you time to get comfortable. Buy a scorecard. Right. Buy a hot dog.
If you got some club access.
Try not to lose your bobblehead.
Try not to get your bobblehead robbed from you. Sometimes things can be dangerous. Right. So enjoy your night of baseball. 80,000 people went to the ballpark last night. Anyhow, it's time for a Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. So we've done a lot on the Pete Alonso record, the Mets, the Yankees today, but we did conclude Jets-Giants joint practices today.
Yes.
So I'm here kind of...
Did you hear that? I think it was Will McDonald actually beat the crap out of Tyrone Tracy. Hmm. Where Tyrone Tracy went home crying, saying, I don't know if I can play football anymore.
Yeah, I heard that, but I know it's bull.
Did you also hear about Will McDonald?
Don't tell me he has a calf issue.
No, he had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Clever.
Then we got a patty cake. Now we got the old McDonald. Oh my lord!
That's the most you've ever laughed. That's the most you've ever laughed at anything, and it's your own joke.
Will McDonald had a farm. Why didn't we do that last year? With a sack here and a sack there, here a sack, there a sack, everywhere a sack.
Now it's actually funny.
Yeah, sacks are good.
All right. What were we doing? Oh, yeah, okay.
I think you just created something, Sean.
Maybe I could catch on. Imagine all the Jet fans with straw hats right there.
If only Chris Berman still did his thing.
Yes. Yes. All right, the five biggest takeaways from the 2 days of Jets-Giants joint practices. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The Giants may have the steal of the entire NFL draft. Marcus Bowe has emerged as a fifth-round tackle, and all the talk about whether he can hang with starters, he did well today. I know Jermaine Johnson and company were out.
He also played well in the preseason.
He played well in the preseason. Yeah. The Giants may have a long-term answer at right tackle that could maybe play as early as this year, which would help kick Illuminor into guard if he needed.
And they wanted them to play guard. Like, everybody thought he was going to play guard, but he looked fantastic playing tackle. And you know what I like most? He's got, like, a meanness about him.
Yes.
Like a dog about him.
He's angry.
I enjoy that. I haven't seen that since Chris Snee, maybe.
Yeah. Well, this would be incredible. And also, if Andrew Thomas misses time, Illuminor could play left tackle. They would have an answer at right tackle. All right, here we go.
Number four.
I think we all agree the Jets' offensive line is good, right? Like, no hate, no anything. Giants' pass rush kicked the crap out of him. So
is this going to be just the pro-Giant list? I thought you said it was about the Jets and Giants.
It's the biggest takeaways.
Because if you want to make it a pro-Giant list, just say it to begin with. Don't give us this song and dance about,
these are my biggest takeaways, and it's going to be five amazing things about the Giants and maybe a shot at the Jets.
That's not true. That's not true.
So
by
far
the way,
it is.
By the way, yesterday the Jets won.
I know.
We just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
No, I know. We didn't do a single on it. But so far, this is what I'm getting at. We're 2 for 2. We'll see if it continues.
All right, here we go.
Number 3.
The Jets are going to struggle throwing the ball down the field. This is a major issue. So I understand the timing of this is not well based on Evan's comment.
3 for 3.
Justin Fields.
Yeah. So far, here's what I got.
Disrupted by the pass rush of the New York Giants. I got can't show the ball downfield.
I got 2 pro-Giant and a shot at the Jets. This is fitting the formula perfectly. Mm. It's already mathematically a pro-Giant list. Let's see if it's overwhelming.
All right, here we go.
Number 2.
I'm starting to be mildly concerned about Malik Neighbors.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Look,
I understand you're revved up. You don't want to throw him out there. But whether it was the toe in the offseason, now the shoulder stuff, it's just now starting to be too many mispractices with this timing that's so important with Russell Wilson.
Right. Man. You don't want him to get into the season and be rusty with a brand new quarterback or quarterback, because there's obviously multiple of them.
I'm not ready to say this yet about Malik Neighbors because it was his rookie season. It was a lost season for the team. Mm. But there's something really valuable about availability.
100%.
So Garrett Wilson, through the first 3 years of his career, has not missed the game.
Right. It's the most valuable thing.
Very much so.
Especially for young players.
Absolutely.
It's one thing if you get a little bit older and you get nicked up and football's full of attrition. And
absolutely.
It's like, you miss a game here or there, but early, you better be reliable.
It matters, and it's a part of your reputation. So Garrett Wilson, so far, has not missed a game in the NFL. Right. Malik missed 2 last
concussion,
year.
Concussion, though.
2, but it was concussion related.
I understand. I mean, right. It doesn't matter what it is.
But he was battling injuries that he just kind of played through. Right. By the way, so, NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count much on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS or Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
And 90210.
All right.
That's just the throw-in. But anyhow, my point was not that he's there yet, because he isn't. It's only one season, and you're right, it's only 2 games. That's the thing I want to see from Malik Neighbors this year. He's going to play 17 games.
Right.
Because, we have guys in this town. Like, I'll use a Jet, I'll use a Giant, because I do want to be fair. Andrew Thomas, Elijah Vera Tucker. They're injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
And even though AVT was healthy last year, I'm still worried about him. Andrew Thomas, last 2 years. So I think this is an interesting year to see. All right, is Malik going to go out and play 17 games? Is he going to be ready for the start of the year? So I think that's a fair one to bring up, but still it's been all anti-Jets, pro-Giants. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Number 1.
I am concerned about Sauce Gardner as well. I just think now we have to be trained. When you hear anything surrounding the calf's a problem, and I'll do you one more. You know what really makes me worried? Sauce Gardner was dogged so much in the offseason about how hard he played, his tackling and all that. Aaron Glenn, I think to his credit, has run a really tough camp. And that preseason game, Sauce Gardner's tackling and will, it popped
the
TV.
Let's get to the point.
And now his calf is banged
let's
up?
Let's get to the point here.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just say, I'm going to do a list that's either just pro-Giants or anti-Jets? There was not one positive thing you said about
what
the Jets.
What positive thing would you want to have you heard about the Jets that you want to talk about?
Well, from the first day of practice, as you pointed, from the first day of the joint practice, they basically kicked their ass is what we heard.
That's not what my people tell me. It was basically a 50-50 split.
Your people are Bad Dad Bob. Two people are telling you what you want. Paul DeTito's telling you what you want to hear. And by the way, that's not even my point, because I don't put a lot of stock in joint practices. I think it's important. I don't want to minimize the importance of it, but I don't put a lot of stock in the results. You sat here, as you've done a lot, and I respect it. I respect your game, sir. And you have decided to take any shot you can at the Jets and how everything's turning around for the Giants. And your whole list was pro-Giants.
Now, I understand if you were counting it down that way, like we do on a list. But let's just now that the list is over, just think about what the list was. The list was the top 2 things were stars on each of the team that I'm concerned about their injuries. Fair or not?
That canceled out totally fine.
Okay.
What about the other 3 things?
Okay. The next 2 things, I think the biggest negative from these 2 practices that we want between both teams is this is now becoming a major issue. You have to throw the football in the NFL, and the Jets can't do it down
it's
the field.
It's a joint practice.
But it's been the theme
right.
of the Jets
mean
camp.
Anything.
No.
Sean, if the Jets dominate the Giants,
it doesn't mean anything until it does.
Bingo.
Okay.
Thank you, Tiki.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything until it does. If the Jets kick the Giants' ass in a preseason game, and I won't be here, neither will you, but on your podcast, you'll probably downplay it.
Mm. Dude.
But in a joint practice, you just gave us 5 minutes on why this is good for this team and bad for that team.
I'm going to give you a hold on, sir. I don't think you should ever overreact to joint practices, and I'm not overreacting. My take was these were the takeaways. The Jets struggling to throw the ball was not, oh my God, look, out of nowhere, they can't struggle the ball. This has been the theme all of camp, and now you get them versus another team, and it, and the theme was ratcheted up.
And, and it's the MO of Justin Fields. That's why you can't ignore it.
I'm not ignoring it. You know what, Tommy? You're very fair in that you're very anti-Jet, but you call him out for his, you know, his stuff.
Correct, yeah. He holds the water for the Giants.
Okay, is my assessment correct?
Yes, 100%. Okay, that's it. Especially when, and I love when you push Sean, because the more he says, the worse it gets.
You're saying
it's become abundantly clear that the Jets can't throw the ball down the field. It's August, 12th?
All right.
They haven't even played a real game yet. How is it abundantly clear? Because a giant beat reporter texted you that it's abundantly clear? We went to camp one day, and the Jets weren't even there.
I want to laugh with all you guys. I'm actually starting to get pissed off. Because this is not a biased list.
Oh, come on.
The biggest negative, if you combine the two teams, is throwing the ball. The biggest positive is this giant pass rush is cooking. That was included. And then the fifth one, could I have cherry-picked a Jet out of there to say he had a positive? Yes. But I think if you're taking both rookie classes, saying what has surprised you the most, I could have picked the wide receiver, Smith? What's his name?
Aaron Smith.
He seems to be throwing. Yes, but that also goes hand in hand. You can't throw the ball down the field. Marcus Bowe, when we consider how many calls the station has taken on the Giants' offensive line, that's a big takeaway here. So Tommy, I don't think this list is out of line.
Okay. Tommy, you just proved part of the amazingness that is Tommy Lugauer.
Well, thank you.
He was able to take us. It's not easy to do. To take a step back from not liking the Jets, which I respect, calling Sean out to be like, bro, it's abundantly clear.
I think we've reached the point in the season here in mid-August where, I got to say it, you know, the Jets can't throw the football down the field. Based on what?
Well, now, they have it in the preseason.
How about Fields' whole career, this whole camp, and now two practices with the Giants? I mean, at some point, we're going to have alarm bells going off. This is going to be a problem. When are we going to say this? Evan yesterday said it's abundantly clear that the Jets are going to have a quarterback advantage if the Giants go to dart. The guy can't throw a football, Evan. That's not a problem for you?
That's not what I said.
What did you say?
And even Tommy agrees with me. My point was, if late in the season, in a lost year, the Giants are going to a rookie quarterback, I think the team that's starting a veteran, even if he's not going to end up as the future starter of this team, gives you a better chance to win football games. Justin Fields, having started 50-some-odd games in the league, as flawed as he may be, will probably give you a better shot to win than a rookie that you're starting because you've given up on the season. It has nothing to do with Dart.
I disagree.
Of course you disagree. Because
Justin Fields hasn't won football games. Part of the thing is, if he's going to give you a better chance to win football games, his whole career, he hasn't won football games.
How did he do last year with Pittsburgh?
He went 4-2.
Okay,
a lot of checkdowns.
That's fine. How did Russell Wilson do?
We're 6-5 and started the playoff game.
Okay, I'm just saying. Do you think
Tomlin's a great head coach?
I think he is, absolutely.
Who did he prefer while Justin Fields winning
Russell
football
Wilson.
Games?
I'm not arguing Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields. Right. I'm arguing a rookie that you're starting week 15.
Would you rather have Justin Fields or Jackson Dart today as the Jet quarterback?
Say it one more time.
Justin Fields or Jackson Dart, if you had to pick one today. A Jet fan.
Hold on. Let me refer.
If you could have Jackson Dart, would you take him over Justin Fields?
Yes, I would.
There you go.
Okay. But that's not the point I was making. The point I was making was in terms of winning games in the short term. Obviously, Jackson Dart hasn't put any negatives on the table yet. He's a rookie who hasn't played. So, with the risk of him being a bust comes the reward of him being a star. There's a greater chance, though it's close, of Jackson Dart blossoming than Justin Fields. I think Fields is at like a 20% hit rate, and Dart's at like a 28% hit rate. Is that fair? Are those numbers all right?
I think it's right. I have one more for you.
No, I know Dart's at a 90% hit rate with
you. If you could pick right now at their age,
yes,
you could have Jackson Dart as the Jets quarterback or Jacob deGrom back in the Mets rotation.
That's a good one.
It's DeGrom because he's proven. Dart is still a rookie, man. Like, listen, I've lived your life before.
You made an NLCS without DeGrom last year. You could have a franchise quarterback now for your football team, which you've never seen.
But let me finish my point about living this life. I've lived your life. And you know what I mean by that?
I've won championships. I'm not sure.
No. I meant I've lived this life of drafting a young quarterback.
Oh.
With the possibility they're going to be great. You haven't done it as much. Like, you did it with Daniel, you did it with Eli, and you hit with Eli. I mean, God bless you for that. That I haven't lived. But I've lived the life of, hey, maybe Sam Darnold's the answer.
Right.
Maybe Mark Sanchez is the answer.
Maybe we got something here, bro. Maybe we got something here with this Geno Smith here, bro.
Tommy knows.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what's great about Tommy? He's making fun, but he gets it. Like, I'm making fun, but Evan's right.
No, he's 100%
right. I'm 100% the fact right. That I Sean, live the life.
Right. The fact that Sean couldn't understand that and he pulled his you-know-what out on the table and gave the resume. I've won championships. He means that he has been in the dumps, which is where the Giants are now. I hate to say that. I mean, eventually they'll get out of it, but they're in the dumps
now. In the dumps, and you're in that period, which is very hopeful of maybe I got something with the young quarterback. And maybe you do. But there's a good chance you don't because most of them fail. I hope the kid's good. Trust me. I like Jackson Dart, but you're living my life. I know this life. You're not as familiar with this.
But he looked very poised in week one. I'm looking through the Jets, by the way, all the throws. It's not really Justin Fields, but Adrian Martinez and Cook looked really good throwing the ball down the field.
Hey, I'm excited for Cook. He may be the backup week one with Tyrod Taylor.
Here we go.
You know who looked poised early in his NFL career?
Who?
I'll never forget this. Sam threw a pick six to start his NFL career. Do you guys remember this?
Absolutely.
And what did he do after?
Came back and won the game.
They won a game,
his first NFL game. Now, when I talk about I've lived that life, could you imagine if that happened with your quarterback? You would be through the moon the next day thinking, oh, my God, dude. Monday Night Football, pick six.
Dude, do you forget Daniel Jones winning his first start versus the Bucs and running in the ball into the end zone? Yeah.
That's my point. Yep. So you've lived this life.
Of course.
So don't assume anything.
I'm not asking you to assume. I said if you had to buy right now the last 2 years of DeGrom's career back in a Met uniform or the chance at a franchise quarterback, knowing what you know now about Dart, you haven't seen one yet. I think the answer is Dart, dude.
There's a better chance, though, that the last 2 years of a washed-up Hall of Famer will give me more production than another lottery ticket of a franchise quarterback. They mostly fail, bro. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They just do. You're not used to it because you haven't had the failures. You had Daniel Jones, but you also had Eli. And Eli turned out to be a Hall of Famer or will be eventually a Hall of Famer. So anyhow, terrible list, but thank you anyway.
Yeah, and Evan, I would advise you as your advisor here to buy sports insurance out right now because let's just say Justin Fields can't get the ball down the field. Sean is going to do the nanny-nanny poo-poo, and that's not fair because...
That's not what I said.
No, I know. What we were getting on, Sean, for is you're saying right now it's abundantly clear. If in December they can't throw the football down the field, then it's abundantly clear.
Tiki nailed it.
Right?
Like, Tiki actually had the cleanest point when you said... How did you phrase it? It was so good, though.
I said it's not a problem until it is.
Bingo. Right. It's so well said because it's true. It's not a problem until it is. It may be a problem, but on August 13th... when we have a joint practice,
right. And
it's not a bunch.
We've only played one preseason game with a brand new offense and new pieces everywhere. It doesn't even matter.
Right. And the one drive he had in that preseason game was all good.
The only thing that mattered out of Sean's list was the health.
He's right about
That's the only thing that matters.
I think that.
In training camp. Are you healthy?
Yeah, and injuries are a big concern because the thing that can derail our hope as Giant and Jet fans is health.
Right.
And clearly Sauce is incredibly important to this team. We know how important Malik is. We were talking not too long ago about, like, hey, if we're ranking the importance of health, you know what I find really funny about this? If we were ranking the importance of health on the Jets and Giants' success, the quarterbacks are way down the list, bro.
It's true. I think you're right.
Isn't that nuts?
It is, because both teams need their run games / running backs. Both teams need their playmaking wide receiver, and they need their defenses to be elite.
And that's how
both of these teams are going to win.
100%. And I think, and this is tougher with Russ, because I know he's potentially a future Hall of Famer. The drop-off, excuse me, between 1 and 2, it's not as big as maybe we make it out to be. Like, Justin Fields to Tyrod Taylor, obviously Tyrod needs to be healthy. Bro, it's not that big of a drop. What kind of drop is there?
I mean,
there may not be a drop.
It might actually be an elevation.
Right! Right.
Because Tyrod Taylor's had a lot of success.
And I said that last year about Daniel Jones about Tyrod Taylor. I said, guys, like Tyrod Taylor's not that big of a downgrade from DJ. In fact, look at his career. He's been better.
His only issue is he's hurt.
Yes.
He just tends to get hurt all the time.
That's already something the Jets are facing because he may not be ready for the start of the season. Anyhow, Ozzie and Woodridge. What's up, Ozzie?
And on his farm, he had a cow. With a moo rash here and a moo rash there. Quick, Morash, quick.
You know, it's funny.
You want to throw daggers? We're throwing them back, baby.
He's fat! Ozzy, the best part is when you started singing, Sean was cracking up thinking that was funny. And then as soon as you did moo rash, like his face turned abundantly quick.
Oz, I hate to break it to you. I didn't hear a second of it. I was saying something to Tiki.
Right. You left it.
I'll sing it again. And a one and a two. Everyone together. And on his farm he had a cow. With a moon rash here and a moon rash there.
He's fat!
Hey, Ozzy, pause for 1 second, please. Thank you, SNY, for joining us early. As always, coming up next, Baseball Night in New York, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac
Dealers. That's right. They're going to cover the Pete Alonso ceremony at 6:40 tonight, so check that out. No offense, I hope it's delayed a little bit so I can see it when I get to the ballpark. But, yes, thank you, SNY. Go ahead, Oz.
Now that no SNY, is Sean's face as pink as a... And on his farm, he had a pig.
You should have quit while you were...
See, I gotta let you go because... We know the words you can't say. And I'm actually more upset with someone who's a regular cursing...
Sure.
...than someone who does it once in a while. Like, you gotta know better. For anyone who's like, oh, I didn't hear it. What did you dump? He dropped a curse. You can't do that. You just can't do it. Mm. I'm sorry.
You gotta be Will Smith here.
We already make a lot of concessions for Ozzy as far as time on the air, and he likes to push the boundaries. If anybody shouldn't curse, it's Ozzy. We let him get away with a lot.
Yeah.
Can't drop an F.
And about, like, when a regular caller curses, I get more upset. I don't know why. Mm. If it's like a first timer, they get nervous. They forgot they're on the air. Like, stuff happens.
Yep.
It bothers me. Anyhow, Sean, the more I've thought about it, your list wasn't that bad. Okay.
Oh, why did you think about it?
Because
you got a couple of Dan messages, didn't you?
No.
Because you got the top two right.
Because you got the top two right.
And I confirmed it. Injury.
Yeah, no.
Injury. Only that matters.
Absolutely. Like right now at the point of camp that we're in, where we've had one game, we've had some hard-ass practices, at least on the Jets side, I'm in the bubble wrap mode that you suggested a few weeks ago of, all right, Malik's not healthy, bubble wrap him till week one.
Right.
Sauce isn't healthy.
We've already seen him.
Yeah.
We know Sauce is a two-time All-Pro.
You see that first drive in the preseason game? He's gone.
You're good, man.
We're gone.
You don't got to play no more.
And
you don't need to make an excuse that your calf is hurt. Just chill.
Just chill, bro. You got like almost a month. It's less than that. But you got plenty of time. Just be ready for the Steelers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that 100%.
That's where I'm at now. Ray and Little Ferry wants to defend Sean's list. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Ray.
What's going on, guys? Big fan. A little rated R radio we got there before, huh?
Embarrassing. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Tiki, I'm a huge fan. Huge Giant fan.
I love it.
Huge Giant fan.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah. I'm just going to defend Sean a little bit because Evan is always saying that he's biased, and he's not. He's always killing the Giants or killing my Yankees. Rightfully so at times. But the list was point on. It was on. And I'm defending Sean. I'm a big fan, Sean.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, see, I was right.
Well, what can I tell you?
Objectively, it was a good list. By the way, both tarps coming on the field at each stadium simultaneously.
Is it raining or no?
I think it's about to.
So preemptive.
What's fascinating about tonight is we are very hypercritical of the way each team handles rain delays or non-rain delays or delayed starts. Like, why did you delay the game? It wasn't raining. Why did you do this? Right? We all do it. And what's so uncomfortable for the Mets and the Yankees is that because they're both at home, they will be compared to each other in terms of how they handle the rain situation.
That's funny. So, I didn't even think about it.
If the Mets started on time, and the Yankees delay it, and then the rains come, and the Mets have to stop the game, the Mets are going to look like buffoons. Or Mets start on time, Yankees don't, rain never comes, the Yankees look like buffoons. So what I would do if I'm the head of grounds crew of the Yankees and Mets is I'd be texting each other.
They definitely were.
And I'd say, whatever you do, I'm doing.
That definitely happened.
Don't you think?
They came on the same time.
Didn't they have a night where one game got rained out and the other team played through where both teams were home?
Did that happen?
I almost want to say it might have been the A-Rod last night with the Yankees. Maybe I'm thinking way too far back.
But it had to do with future scheduling.
It could have.
Right,
it could have.
So we can't make this up, so we have to play through it.
Well, it's a great point. Like, the Yankees will feel more pressure to have to play tonight than the Mets are because the Mets play the Braves tomorrow.
Right, they can just doubleheader it if they need to.
Right, the Twins play tomorrow, the Yankees don't. So Minnesota's leaving. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so if the Yankees are, it's a great point. The Yankees have to play tonight. If the rain was worse than it is, because it's actually going to be fine. It's going to clear. Like Yankees Twins, they may wait till midnight. The Mets could say, yeah, I'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. Right,
and the Yankees don't care because they're off tomorrow.
Right. Minnesota has to go back to Minnesota and take on Tarik Skubal, which is not exactly an ideal spot for them. So keep an eye on how both teams handle it. But, yeah, there is rain in the forecast. Just looking at it, I think it's going to clear. If I had to guess, I think both teams are either going to start on time or within the 7 o'clock hour. Like, I don't think they'll be an 8 before a start time. That's my prediction.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. Or not really.
Especially because you're going.
That's right. Dude, I'm on a run right now. I went last night with my boy Dennis. I'm going tonight with my wife. I'm going tomorrow with Jet. And then I'm leaving town.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You know what that means? Evan's going on vacation. Honey, I'm going to be in the Carolinas with you and the kids, and I love you, but I'm going to go to the Met games beforehand. You're the best. You're the best.
The worst part was I had my wife agree to yesterday and tomorrow under the guise of Alonzo. Yeah, you know, you want to see the record. Now, he's already broken the record. Tonight, she was like, hey, I'm going to be in the city. Let's go out. Let's have a date night. I was like, okay. Nice. So she volunteered tonight's game.
Here's the big question. Let's say Alonzo was one away from breaking the record and they had like a, you know, a 10-game homestand. Would you have gone to every single game telling, like, he didn't hit the home run? Honey, I got to go back. Like, where would she have drawn the line of, like, Darryl Strawberry eventually stopped showing up to City Field. He's like, I'm not coming to these games.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question.
Would you have tried to push it, though? Because I know you want to be there, but then you're like,
Did you absolutely need to see it?
No. Okay. No. I'd like to have seen it, but if I missed it, I missed it.
Right.
You know, there's certain things you can't miss, and there's certain things where I'd like to be there.
Yeah, David Wright, you had to be there.
Yeah, David, and that's also one day. Like, exactly. You're not possibly there for 2 weeks. Like, here's the thing with Pete. I love the guy. He could go, as Tommy said, 100 at-bats without a home run.
I mean, he's hit 6 home runs in July, right? In August. What is today? August?
Today is August 13th.
Yeah, he's hit a bunch of home runs as of late.
Right, but then you go a period of time where he doesn't hit any.
Right.
So it's always risky. That's right. I just got reminded in this traffic update that not only are the Yankees giving away a bobblehead, the King Aaron Judge bobblehead, but the Mets are giving away, and Tiki is going to Google this as soon as I say it for obvious reasons.
Go ahead.
Mrs. Met gives back bobblehead.
Mrs. Met really got that seat meat.
That's literally what it's called. Mrs. Met gives back.
Oh, yes,
bobblehead.
I'm looking.
So I don't know what that is. She gives back what?
Build that ass first.
In March, it was originally Mrs. Met got back bobblehead day. They had to change it.
I have no idea.
What is it? If she's holding a bag?
Maybe she's being charitable. Maybe it's she's giving back.
Oh, it is. So.
Oh, God.
Amazing. Oh, the Amazing Mets Foundation.
It's a charity thing.
So, yeah, it's a charity thing.
So, there is a bobblehead tonight being given out by the Mets. Mrs. Met gives back, and the Yankees are giving away Aaron Judge. So, that's your situation, town, if you head out to the ballpark. A quick thought about the Knicks. So, the NBA schedule has been leaking out over the last couple of days. I said this about the NFL. I am a sucker for schedule releases. NFL, NBA, I'm glued to it. I love it. Let me know when my teams are playing and the teams I don't like are playing. I want to know all of it. Even the NBA. Like, the NFL's obvious. Baseball, less so. The NFL's the king of it. But I love the NBA schedule. And so, few things have leaked out. I'd rather you just give us the whole 82, but okay, fine. And what's been interesting about the Knicks is that we know on opening night, which is a premier night, national TV, they're playing Cleveland. And we also know on Christmas Day, they are playing Cleveland. And so the NBA is telling us in a very distinct voice, look, the Pacers are not the same without Tyrese Halliburton, so why bother a bunch of primetime Knick Pacer games, even though the rivalry is back? Their best player's out. The Celtics aren't going to be the same without Jason Tatum, so we'll still give you a couple of Knicks-Celtic games. It's still New York-Boston, but it's not premier. Even though I think, and a lot of us think, the Magic will be very good, they're just not sexy enough on TV.
Right. Nobody knows. You probably can't even name half the team.
Well, I mean, I can.
I know you can. I'm talking about the lay fan.
No, I get
like the Knicks fan. Nobody, like, who the hell's paying attention to the Magic?
So they're telling you the only team they can rely on to be rivals with the Knicks so far is Cleveland.
Hmm.
And it's a reminder. And I'll say this as we get closer to the start of the season, and don't take this as any kind of troll. It's a compliment. Never in my life have the Knicks been as big a favorite in my mind to get to the NBA Finals as they are right now. And this is evidence of it. They're basically telling you the only team worth putting up against you is a team that's proven year in and year out they're gullus.
Yeah, it's the only team they could trust that is going to be good in the East besides the Knicks is the Cavs. And then if you look at all the opening night games or Christmas, Christmas is just one
Pistons?
Eastern Conference game.
Pistons?
No.
And is Beasley even going to... He's not going to be available.
No, he hasn't signed.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. No, it's just... I mean, like, look, there could be a surprise team. I think Atlanta's going to be better, but they don't have the sex appeal. When you look at quality of team, sex appeal, you have the Cavs and you have the Knicks. And then it's the Western Conference. All the Christmas games
all
are Western Conference plays the Knicks.
All of
opening
them.
Night. The West is where the big teams are. And the East, it's a two-horse race for now. Now, obviously, that can change once the season starts, but it's hard to believe Indiana or Boston are going to compete for a title.
They're not. Would you agree with what I think is a very obvious statement? And again, people are going to take this so badly, but it's just true. It's a compliment. It's a disaster if the Knicks aren't in the NBA Finals.
The only reason you can't say that is because of what could potentially happen. That is injury, just underperformance. I don't know. Coaching is not right. Like you just have no idea because we haven't seen anything. We don't know what this new iteration of the Knicks is going to look like in 2025-26. So in theory, yes, you're right. But in practice, I would reserve that for now.
I just don't like the word disaster. I would put disaster
right
in front of...
It's so fatal.
Right. In front of it's... Or at the end of it's a disaster... Or no, in front of it's a disaster if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals. That I would say. As far as the NBA Finals, I still think you got to give respect to Cleveland. Injuries derailed their playoff run last year. They are the favorites to get out of the East. So I think it would not be a disaster if they don't make the finals. But it would be extremely disappointing. ECF, they have to, bare minimum.
So he's right about something, and it's very close, so it's minuscule. Right now on FanDuel, the Cleveland Cavaliers are the slight favorites at plus 240. The Knicks are plus 270. And then it's Orlando, which we talked about, plus 500. Atlanta, who Tommy brought up, plus 950. The Sixers, who are the ultimate wild card in all this, because... Look, if Embiid is healthy, they'll get knocked out in the second round, but they do have a lot of talent at plus 1,200. Detroit's 1,300. Boston's 1,400. Milwaukee is 1,700. So the odds tell you this is Cleveland and the Knicks, but if you're a Knicks fan, you got to expect you're going to the NBA Finals, and if you don't, how are you not pissed off?
You got to believe that this is your year to get to the NBA Finals. Yeah. It's always felt like there was someone in the way. Last year, obviously, it was Boston.
There's nobody in the way.
Last 2 years, it was Boston. It was the Celtics, even if it didn't become the case because, obviously, their injuries. But
and it turned out to really be Indiana.
It turned out to be Indiana.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be the case this year. It's really just Cleveland.
Yes.
And in your mind, you feel like you own Cleveland.
And you feel
so if you're a Knicks fan, you're saying... We should be in the NBA Finals.
I think
yes,
Cleveland,
you're right, but I don't think it's a disaster because of so many things it can't
happen. I bet you JR and Somerville agrees. JR, I know we're on the opposite ends of fandom, but you would agree. If the Knicks aren't in the finals, this is a disaster, correct?
It's not a disaster. The one thing that you start doing, though, is you question when the end of Jalen Brunson's Knick time would begin. That's the one thing.
Already,
if the Knicks don't
JR?
Win at this time.
Already?
Already. He's a 30-year-old. He'd be going into next year, 2 years from now, he'll be a 30-year-old, small guard. And in this league, you know, the tread comes off the tire pretty quickly. So, you know, that's it. But, it's very extreme. You know, it's very extreme.
All right. Fair enough. But, what else is on your mind, pal?
Well, here's the thing, Evan. And this is, you have scare tactics. Tactics and that with the Knicks point just here, and the whole thing with Alonzo is that you're afraid of him getting replaced by a piece of crap replacement level first baseman because you named your own podcast after a piece of crap replacement level first baseman. you think these guys could actually come in here and take over for Alonzo? You downplay objectively. There's only two players that have a better F war than him at first base in the whole entire major leagues. You throw Kyle Schwarber's name out there as if he has something to do with this, when a guy like Gino Suarez is probably the guy who would be in Alonzo's market as far as maybe moving him to first baseman and making him the replacement. And the other thing is that the Mets have about $205 million committed next year, down from the $340. If they're not going to improve on that, you're basically calling out the owner. They got to sign Diaz. You haven't mentioned that at all. You got to do this with all the money that you have coming off the books next year. So just say it, that you have no confidence and that the owner is cheap. Don't say that. Well, you know that they're going to go ahead and just.
No, I don't. I don't think the owner is cheap. I think that the owner and Edwin's going to be very similar in this regard, which we can get into. I think they're going to put a price tag, years and money, on Edwin Diaz. Mm. And if someone else offers him that, he'll be gone. I think the Mets are very matter of fact with most free agents. I think Juan Soto was unique because he was such a unique free agent. Now, one other thing you mentioned I disagree with. When I mentioned Schwarber and even Tucker and Murakami at the beginning of the show, it's not to directly replace Pete. It would be to replace the slug that you're going to miss from Pete.
Right, the bat.
Yeah, like, so for example, I'll give you a hypothetical. They lose Alonso. Someone makes a stupid offer, he's gone. And for whatever reason, maybe because he's a DH, Schwarber's market doesn't explode. They could add Schwarber to replace Pete's bat, not to play first base. Schwarber would likely just be the DH, and Vientos would play first base, or maybe or Ryan Clifford's ready to play first base. So it's not about those guys replacing Pete. It's about where do you replace the 35-110 that you would lose in free agency. But you are right, not that the owner's cheap, that's dumb, but you are right that the Mets are going to have some big decisions to make during the offseason. And we haven't talked a lot about Edwin Diaz, mainly because the story today has been Pete because of the record and the emotion he has with Met fans. But you're right, Edwin Diaz is going to opt out, and it is going to be fascinating to see what happens.
In the reality, he's had a really good season.
Yeah.
And he deserves to get the extension that the top one of the top closers, if not the top closer in baseball, deserves. But is it going to be worth it to Steve Cohen? That's the question.
David Stearns, because he's going to see a guy in his 30s probably looking for 5 years.
Yeah, but he's not a starting.
Is there a
Tommy John worry for Edwin Diaz?
No, I think it's just closers and getting older and just aging. That's all it is.
But he's been really good this year.
He's been great. Oh, I'd love Edwin back. I'm just saying I think there will be, much like there is with Pete, much like there is with everybody, there's a price tag limitation that David Stearns is going to have. Hey, let's take a window seat to Giants camp, brought to you by Windorama's First Down Deals. 30% off your installation project. What about Deontay Banks? He had such a kind of bad year last year where effort was questioned. It's only training camp. We need to relax on what we're seeing, but feeling good about Deontay Banks?
Well, Deontay Banks came in, immediately you could tell that there was a change. He wasn't being anointed as the starting cornerback, the guy, the man, the lockdown player that the Giants supposedly drafted a few years ago. Instead, he was embattled in a fight with Cordell Flott for the starting job. And yesterday in the joint practice, apparently he got eaten up a little bit by Garrett Wilson and Justin Fields and some of these one-on-one.
Why was that not put in Sean's list then?
It should have been. I mean, that definitely should have been in Sean's list. Who is starting opposite of Paulson Adebo for the New York Giants at cornerback? Because that's a big story for the New York Giants. But, I mean, this is his prove-it year. Let's face it. Like he fell out of favor last year, and you didn't have room in your grace to say, you'll figure it out, kid. It's almost like the Giant fan wanted to get rid of him. So now he's really got to prove it in the preseason, and hopefully he makes it through into the regular season and becomes the player that everybody thought he was going to be.
You want me to answer why that wasn't on my list? Because he didn't practice today, Evan.
Right.
Well, they practiced yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Yeah, he's number 6 on my list. He was the top 5.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious.
I don't think he's going to start anyway. I think Cordell Flott's going to start.
That is a disaster if he doesn't start.
Can you imagine?
That's a disaster.
Glass half full. You're in year 4 or 3 of a third-round pick that you invested in. That's a good job by Flott winning the job.
Hey, the third-round pick is great, but the guy we drafted in the first round, he's terrible.
I mean, come on. You're special, bro.
Didn't Sean say that Banks was better than Sauce Gardner?
He did say that.
Was it a year ago?
Yes, yes. I got that sent to me as well. Like, you have said some obscene things. Obscene things. Okay. Some of which you could still argue, like, neighbors better than Garrett Wilson. Like, cool discussion. Like, I think that's fine, obviously.
You can't argue that one anymore, but that's okay.
No, you can. Garrett Wilson plays every game, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And he's also the quarterback situation he's dealt with. Not that Malik had much better in year one. That wasn't good either.
Right.
How about both of them need some stability at quarterback? Yeah. But yeah,
corner?
Quarter. What'd I say?
I thought you were saying corner.
Oh, well, we're talking about corners, too.
All right, we are.
Yeah.
By the way, this is so important for him, because it's not like he's going to slide to the nickel. Drew is the nickel.
Right.
And maybe he plays dime, but he's not even a dime, because that's basically a a defensive back playing
linebacker.
So then
linebacker. What ends up happening? He's just sitting on the bench? Is there a risk he gets cut?
I think they might. They could look to move him. I was told this. And the Giants
were what else were you told? Baghdad Bob told you what now?
This was a complete, now, insert joke here, Wink Martindale pick. And now that he's gone, it's just not fit.
Come on! You may be right, but you realize how you sound sometimes?
I understand. Look, but I understand.
You know what? When I hear that, I'm like, you know what? It kind of makes sense.
No. I'm not even saying it's not true. It's like sometimes things are true, but when you hear it from the guy who's telling you there's no fire back there, everything's great.
Dude, I agree with you. Either way, you spent the first round pick on a guy, he can't be a disaster. Another lesson learned, don't allow your coordinator, who could be gone after any year, to be the guy going, I need this guy for this scheme. And that's what apparently the Giants have allowed themselves to do.
I got you. Let's go to, he makes me laugh. Let's go. I love you, Sean. I really do.
Dude, I'm just telling you what I was told. I agree it's a disaster. Well, not arguing that.
Sometimes, like, there are people that will hate me because I'm such a geek. Like, oh, God, Evan, I can't listen to him. He's such a geek. Then there are people like, oh, man, Evan's so adorable. He's a geek. I say this with love. I love you. You're such a homer. Like, it is so adorable. Like, I don't hate you for it. Sometimes it's annoying, obviously, but
it's what you're supposed to be, though, Sean. So don't take any.
Is he?
I hate to break it to Evan.
Oh, don't tell me this.
I am putting beers away and instead scoring games away from being you, just rooting for opposite teams, except for
you
basketball.
Think I'm a homer?
I think we both have a lot of homer in them, and we both are way too obsessed with sports at our age.
Well, the sports obsession you're right about. We totally. Tom even shakes his head.
Yeah.
Call me out. Not write it down and then tell me after the show.
I
like we're doing
yesterday.
With the King Judge Countdown. Tell me when you think something is homerific. The DeGrom stuff, sure, I'm homer. I'll buy that one. Anything else? Like anything today I've said that's homerific?
No, I mean, it's been a season long. Well, the NL's better than the AL stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
Look at the top of the National League.
All right.
Come on, guys.
The Mets pitching lab stuff. What happened with Montas there,
well,
by the way?
Well, it fell off, but for the first half of the year, I mean, the pitching lab was unbelievable.
I'll start making note because these are all the ones I have in the.
Yeah,
in
but
the
none of those things are homerific. Their pitching was the best in baseball. Like, what was I supposed to say? You know what I mean?
Okay.
What do you mean? Don't okay me. Like, am I wrong?
You're right.
Thank you.
The Mets starting pitching was the best in baseball for, I mean, a month it felt like.
I know.
And it was surprising. And you didn't think it would last all season long, but you didn't think it would fall off like this.
No doubt. I thought it would definitely fall off. Right. But now I remember arguing with Tommy that I thought it would fall off. So that's tough because then you're saying once the results are in, you go back to something and say, see, you're a homer. Mm. Like, that's not fair. It's in the moment.
He's just reacting
to
the what he everybody knew.
Yeah, their pitching was amazing.
It was fact.
Yeah. What else you got?
Well, I'm just saying. What I would say is there's a difference between being a homer, say a positive Tommy, and excuse making, which is what you just did. You somehow bounced the ball backwards to Tay Banks was selected by Wink Martindale because we know he's the scapegoat in Giant Land. It's all Wink's fault.
But in the same,
Tay Banks quit on a football
but
field
it's also,
last year. Yes
it's
or no?
Also fact.
That's
no,
thing.
I know, but Tay Banks took his
both
ball
thing,
and went
both
home
things
last
are true.
Yeah.
Exactly. Both things are true.
But why is he stinking now? I guess my point is that, like, couldn't he just overcome that in a different team?
He can. And the GM made the pick. I'm just telling you, the GM made the pick in collaboration thinking the defensive coordinator was going to be here. He let the D coordinator pick between him and Joey Porter Jr.
Him. Well, the thing is, he's always in the right place. He just doesn't make the play.
He doesn't know how to turn his head around.
Yes.
Look at a ball. Right.
Do you think anything I have ever said or really anyone has ever said in the history of the station is more homerific than Tay Banks is better than Sauce Gardner? Is there anything in the history of the station? Have I said anything that even approaches that level?
Wait, when was that said?
Before Tay Banks played a game in the NFL.
And before Sauce did, too, right?
No, Sauce
was the year before.
Sauce was locked down.
To be fair, this is where online comes. I was obviously trying to tweet Jet fans. And that's where it comes back to hurt you. I got to own that.
All right, fair enough.
No, I don't think there can't be.